God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings, God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside. Looking only unto Jesus, He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings, God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings, God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles.
I found a way.
Okay, well, we'll do a test right here. Well, I'm glad you don't have to see these stupid commercials, by the way. I got to figure out how to get my YouTube account, which I have, that skips all ads. Anyway, but my voice is coming in clear, so here's a song.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
Bow the knee. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him. When I humbly seek his face and bow the knee. As you live to love him more, bow the knee,
bow the knee, bow the knee.
He is King of all the ages, bow the knee.
Tell you, I think YouTube is probably, no doubt, not letting people know that I am on. I noticed I didn't get a notification if you don't have service when it gets posted. Well, that might be true, but now I just got it. It just came in. It's weird. Anyway. Maybe it came in sooner. My email just didn't give it to me, but who knows? No surprise, though, right? That the devil hates these types of broadcasts. Anyway, hope you're having a good day this morning at 11. I actually made it on time, which I'm pretty happy about. Anyway, share this with as many people as you can. We don't have very many people on right now. I'm assuming more will be on later. But I see the counts going down and down and down and down, so I'm not sure. Maybe there's only going to be 5 of you left here. And we'll just have a good time anyway, either way. But, you know, Linda Young was just notified. Hi, Linda Young. I don't know if I know who you are, but I'm glad you're on here. Norma Jean, God bless you. I'm glad you're on here. I haven't seen you for a while. You've been lurking. Lisa never gets notified. Lisa, it's kind of like we're like Eeyore. Thanks for noticing me. We don't get noticed. We don't, you know, Eeyore. Remember him? He just, yeah, anyway. All right. I wonder if anybody else is. Authorized Mike is on here. I haven't seen him for a few days. I figured he went into hiding somewhere deep in the heart of Texas. Joe McDonald. Elijah Morgan is the first one on here. The Elijah Morgan. The original Elijah Morgan. Andrea Bales. And no, she does not bale hay, even though she lives in Iowa. All right? But she is on here. Lisa is on here. Carl Winters. Mary Teresa is on here. I think that's how you say her last name. She's on here. Let's see. We know Carl Winters is on, and he never has a picture. He's just Carl Winters, the blank guy with the box figure. But you never quite know. Let's see. Who else is on here? Joey. Joey's on here. Joey Miller. I haven't seen him forever. He's hibernating for the winter. I haven't seen Joey. Cat Lady. S. Jurder KJV. I don't know what that is, but all right then. My wife is on here. Rachel Marshall. Marissa Roper. And Alicia. I don't know if I know who Alicia is. I'm guessing that's Alicia. A-L-I-C-G-J-A. I don't know if I know who that is or not. I've seen you on here before, but I don't know if I know you. Andrea's happy it's Friday. She gets to spend time with her husband. That's a good thing to be happy about, Andrea. Good morning from Tennessee, excuse me, Mary Hay. All right, Mary Hay, is this the first time you've commented on here? I don't think I've seen you on here before, but I could be wrong. Hello from Greece. All right, one from Greece on there. I wonder if that's the other guy that I've talked to from Greece on the phone before. I don't know. Could be. Someone called me from Greece before. Anyway, let's see here. All right, Alicia's been listening to us through sermon audio for years. I know I've seen you on here, but I wasn't for sure if you were somebody else, so I was just checking to make sure. My name is Sergerder, pronounced sure. I live in the Faroe Islands. Where in the world is that? I gotta look that up. Holy buckets, you live right there. That's where you live. It's, whoa, you live in the middle of nowhere. You live in the middle of nowhere. It reminds me of a story my kids listened to with Patch the Pirate. It reminds me of this, the Fair Isles. That's what it reminds me of. Look at that. That's where you live. Look, I'm going to zoom right into your backyard right now. Google gives me the power to zoom right into your backyard. We're going to put it, we're going to see the hat you're wearing. We're going to see what shoes you have on today. We're going to see whether you brushed your teeth today. Right there. We're going right down inside there. Oh, it's not doing anything. Okay, never mind. It's not going to happen. I bet you're the only person that listens to me in the Faroe Islands. You translate the KJV into Faroese, fairies. I don't even know what that is. Somebody actually asked me, what's my view on Dwayne Wade's situation? Well, Lewis, let me give it to you like this, okay? Let's talk about it. I'll save it because I'll get into that today. After I'm done with the virtual reality nonsense, by the way, extremely spooky stuff. Wow, what a beautiful place. Look at that. Look at that. That's where you live? That's where you live? Really? Becca, you just live in the middle of of Minnesota. I mean, this person lives in the Faroe Islands, if I'm even saying that right. Am I saying that right, Carl? I never say anything right. Look at that place. That's incredible. I can't believe somebody out in the middle of that place right there is listening to this broadcast. Isn't that unbelievable? Wow. That really is unbelievable. And right now, it's like 30 below with the windshield outside. And meanwhile, this person is in the Faroe Islands. Look at that place. Isn't that something? That's amazing to me. Wow. That's really cool. Isn't that one thing cool about the internet? The rest of it's like Babylon, but hey, this part's cool. Right? Right? Isn't that something, man? Unbelievable. Anyway, all right. Well, good to have you listening. I'm glad it's a blessing to you. And we're blessed to have you aboard listening. And hopefully, I'm glad that the preaching's a blessing to you and that you listen there. Amen, Cindy. That's correct. God knows where he wants to broadcast. Yeah, it's amazing. Where is that? That's the fair. Becca, have you not been listening? We just said that was the Faroe Islands. I don't think Becca's paying attention today. Becca, now stop chasing squirrels around or being frightened of them and look at the Faroe Islands. I just want to go up to that rock right there. Wow. Incredible. See, this is the kind of place you go to and really relax and soak everything in. Man. That's amazing. What a neat place. Mm. Just kidding, Becca. Just giving you a hard time, as usual. It is beautiful there. Absolutely it is. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Glad to have you on here. Glad it's an encouragement to you. Got some good feedback. It's Norwegian? Oh, no. Does that mean all they eat is like sauerkraut? They don't like flavor? Because if it is, if I ever went there, I'd bring my own food. Because I live in Minnesota, and these Norwegians eat weird. Oh, I know, I'm terrible. It's like, put some salt and pepper on that stuff, will you? Put some spice on that. Your tongue's not going to fall off. Oh, man. You make them some good spicy chili, and they're like, ooh, that's spicy. What is it? I put, like, a little bit of chili pepper. Anyway, all right. Before I make all the Norwegians mad, I better stop. We eat rotten fish, sheep, and whale meat. Well, that sounds interesting. Anyway, but you know what? God has us all right where he wants us. And he has me in frozen Minnesota. Right here. So, amen. That's where God wants me, but I don't mind visiting places, that's for sure. I'm still debating where I'm going in May yet. I haven't decided yet completely. With my family, we usually get away twice a year, which is good for my mind and to kind of unwind a little bit for a couple weeks. And I have to do that twice a year. So I want to go somewhere warm, obviously. Somewhere historical, somewhere I can enjoy, so, yep. What in the world? You didn't know what I was talking about? All right. So anyway, I have to figure out where I'm going to go. And where the Lord have us to go on a vacation, to get away for a little while, relax for a couple weeks. Probably not going to do that, Carl, until the Baptist History Tour, which will be in 2020. Or 2021, excuse me. So, if that happens, Lord willing, if that happens, then I want to meet with people over in Europe and preach over there and fellowship with some folks over there. So I'd have to figure out the time. I've got some time to do it, so go to Antarctica. I just want to go. I just want to fall off the flat earth and see if it really works. That's all. I want to go up to that wall in Africa or in Antarctica. Is that where it is? That's where that wall is, where they're hiding stuff. They're hiding the flat earth. Oh, yeah, in March. Well, I won't be going there, Lisa, but probably. But he's coming here a week afterwards. Pastor Mike is coming here a week after he goes. Or, I mean, no, not a week after. A day after. He closes out that conference on a Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he'll be here. So, Pastor Mike will be doing another conference for us here in March. March, I think it's the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, or it's the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. One of those. All right? That's when he's coming. Let's see if I can switch months here. Yep, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th is when Pastor Mike will be here. So, anyway, that'll be good. We'll have a good time, and we'll probably stream those. We will stream those live, I think. We'll stream those live. Jacob's leaving when Pastor Mike's coming. That's a good welcoming gift, Jacob, just to take off. Yeah. So, anyway. We will be broadcasting Pastor Mike here. We'll broadcast him live here. Good morning, Christine. Hope you're doing well. All right. Well, I better get started here with what we're going to talk about. You know, it's really kind of creepy. Deeply demonic and very emotionally manipulative that I'm about to show you. It's a failure, I believe, on the part to accept death. And it's honestly downright frightening is what it is. And when we watch this video, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. And it is quite frightening. I will tell you that. Watch a mother reunite with her deceased child in VR. Would you want to see a deceased loved one again in a virtual world? In 2016, Yang Ji Sung's 7-year-old daughter, Naeon, died of an incurable disease. 3 years later, the South Korean mother was reunited with Naeon, sort of in a virtual world created for a televised documentary. On Thursday, the Moonhwa Broadcasting Corporation shared a clip from the special documentary titled, I Met You, on its YouTube page, with the footage cutting between the real world and the virtual one. In the former setting, Yang stands in front of a massive green screen while wearing both a VR headset and what appears to be some sort of haptic gloves. In the latter, she and her daughter talk, hold hands, and even a birthday party complete with a lit cake. The VR reunion is, as you might expect, extremely emotional. Yang appears to begin crying the moment she sees the virtual Naeon, while the rest of the family, Naeon's father, brother, sister, watch the reunion unfold with somber expressions and the occasional tear. Maybe it's a real paradise, Yang said of the reunion. The VR, according to Aju Business Daily, I met Naeon, who called me with a smile for a very short time, but it's a very happy time. I think I've had the dream I've always wanted. Now, notice what was said there. Okay? Try to pay attention here. Notice what is said here. What is said here is that these people are having their dreams fulfilled. These people are having their dreams fulfilled. Now listen to me, the danger in this, this is going to remind you of the story of Saul who went to the Witch of Endor. We'll read that story after we get into this. Saul said that the Witch of Endor said that she brought up who? Samuel. But it wasn't Samuel. Just like this isn't her daughter. Do you understand? Are you getting the picture? Okay, now, remember the part of the scriptures? I'm going to read you this. Remember the part of the scriptures where it says that she saw gods ascending? Hang on. Let's go there real quick. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself to a devil. Now please listen to me. I'm not being unkind to this lady. I feel terrible for her. I'm mad as hell at the devil. But these are devils that are using this. You've got to understand that. They're using this technology. They're going to use it even more. It's going to get creepy around here. I'm telling you that right now. It's going to get weird.
Okay.
Okay, now, holy buckets. When my wife and I watched this last night, I seriously got the stinking willies. And I'm not kidding you, man. Ooh-wee, did I get the willies. Ooh-wee, here it goes. Now, wait till you see this one.
엄마, 내 손 잡으니까 좋지? 근데 이렇게 하면 하늘.
So he's appealed. Oh, I want to touch you, she said. Yes, I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. Now listen, again, don't turn on this woman. She is a grieving woman that lost her child. Have compassion for her. If you lose your sense of compassion, you're misunderstanding what's being done to this woman. Satan is doing this. This is not like Saul going to the witch of Endor in that sense as how he wanted that. This woman is being deceived. Saul rejected the Lord. This woman is being deceived. Mom? Look, Mom, are you scared? No, I'm not scared. They're rising to heaven, so to speak. Watch. This is where it creeped me out, and I was like, oh my goodness, is this creepy. Ascending above the stars, right? Above the sides of the north, right? Look at this. But now I want you to think about this for a second. Before we get into any more of this. This is Satan's promise. This is what he promised Eve. Ye shall be as gods. You're going to ascend. And what did Satan say himself? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Look what he said. He's always going to do something. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what he's doing. But what's going to happen? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. This is all. Look. They're selling heaven here. But it's really hell. It's the beast rising. That's what it is. Now. What if. A mark could be put on you, in you, in your right hand or in your forehead. Not you, but the lost. In your hand or your forehead. What if that mark would go into you? And what if, you know, we've talked about the sexual fantasies. I'm not going to, look, this is PG, don't worry. I'm not going to say anything bad. I wouldn't do that to you. I'd give you full warning if I was going to talk about something along those lines. What if we always talk about the sexual things, but what about these? What if this would entice you to take the mark? People that are, that would, we think about, oh, advanced knowledge and, oh, no. What if that mark gave you everything you wanted? Do you understand what I'm saying? So what if that mark of the beast gave you all your loved ones back? Offered you a virtual heaven when it was really giving you absolute hell? What if that's what it did? What if by taking that you could fulfill everything in your heart's desire? This woman clearly doesn't have any fornication desire. She doesn't have any wicked desire. What does she want? She wants to be reunited with her daughter. So what if that mark in your right hand or your forehead, what if that gave her that? What if it gave her that? What if she took that and she got to see her daughter again and Satan offered her a lie? See, that's how the devil works. That's how vicious and wicked he is. Satan doesn't play fair. Do you understand? Satan doesn't play fair. He doesn't. And you have to understand that he's not playing fair. He's very evil. Very diabolical. And he knows how to play on the emotions of a person. Now, clearly, a desire to have her daughter is not an evil thing, but there could be an evil way that she goes about it, one that is against God's word. And what if it's this digital resurrection? Be found in Christ. I understand what you're saying. It's not real. It's a fantasy. It's what happens when you don't love God above everything else. It's true. But I'm telling you, people that suffer great loss are vulnerable. That's why when we see them suffer great loss, we need to take the gospel to them. We need to love those people that suffer great loss and show them the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Show them life after death. Show them what the Bible says. Are you following me? Are you all with me? Let me show you my pretty house where I am. So she tells her, this familiar digital spirit here is telling her, well, this is where I dwell. And you can come visit me anytime you want to. Now, what's the difference in that and Saul going to the Witch of Endor? Nothing. It's the same thing.
Twilight.
Oh, look. Little devil creature. Look at that. How about that? Where'd that thing come from? Came from hell, but it looks like it's from heaven. Don't you think this is kind of interesting, this pyramid here? How about this one? Oh, preacher, you're just getting spooky on us now. Oh, I don't know. This is spooky enough. I don't think I need to get any spookier, do I? I think it's self-explanatory spookiness, isn't it? Right? Wait, back up a little bit. What did it say?
Twilight.
It's Twilight. My mom is here. Say hi. This thing's name is Twilight. All right. Does anybody else think that's absolutely spooky? Because I think it is. They named that thing Twilight. All right? They named it Twilight. All right? Let's remember. Things that are familiar with Twilight. Twilight, the dead, the dead, right? Coincidence? Nope. It's Twilight. My mom is here today. Say hi. See how this thing is interacting with her?
Okay. 엄마.
아, 빨리.
알았어, 알았어.
엄마, 나랑 생일 축하하자.
하나, 둘, 셋. 하나, 둘, 셋.
손 꽂아줘.
봐봐.
The face is a little different. So the other brothers and sisters and the family that's around there, they're saying a few things. You're going to see the emotional toll this takes on the people around them. That's the father right there. That is terrible. Absolutely terrible. See, this doesn't help you. This doesn't help you get over death. What it causes you to do is not believe in reality. And people with a depressed mind, listen, I've been through a lot of things. Depressions, discouragements, losses, crosses. But I have Christ in my soul. I have the Holy Ghost to guide me. I have a book that I live by. These people don't. So I want you to see what the Bible says. And we're not done with this video, but I want you to hang on a second. Let's see. Let me go to... Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you I told you these things? As now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Look at this! Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perished. What's happening here is these people are being deceived. And you look at them and you think, you know, the harder side of some of you might look at them and think, boy, you're a bunch of idiots. How could you be fooled by this? What's the matter with you people? But I don't see that. I have a lot of compassion on them. I see, dear God, please help them. They're being deceived by this. That's the attitude that we ought to take for them. And for the deception that is coming upon the whole world. Lisa, I'm going to take your advice and maybe change that title to Digital Resurrection, Virtual or VR Necromancy or Virtual Necromancy. Maybe I'll add that. But I want you to think about that. It could be a form of necromancy. Let's look at the word. Communicating with the dead. That's exactly what it is. Which kind of is familiar spirits in all of it. It's kind of all mixed. You know what I mean? But let's go to that. Let's go. Let's do that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, people need to feel sorry for these people and have compassion for them. This is that strong delusion that is going to be sent to them, like Carl said. And it's not what you think. See, listen to me. It isn't going to be all, oh, I want pornography. Oh, I want a bunch of women. Oh, I want riches. Oh, I want all. No. It could be this. Nayeen wanted to eat those so bad. She wanted to eat so many things besides the rice cake. But we couldn't do that for her, so now they can do it in virtual reality. I hope my brother and sister get along, and I wish for So Jung's not to be sick. So young.
신선이 아프지 말고 그리고 우리 엄마 울지 않게 해주세요.
Please don't make my mom cry. See, these are messages from beyond. This is the same thing as the Witch of Endor. Seaweed soup. See, oh, your seaweed soup is the best for me, Mom.
네 고기 제일 맛있어.
맞아. 우리 나연이 엄마 끓여준 거 좋아했지?
Yeah, you used to like my Wow. They said they just blocked my stream. 와우, they cut me off for that. Isn't that something? Okay, well, now it says I'm back. Your stream is no longer being blocked due to copyright issues. Okay. So, let me see. Okay, so they brought it back. Let me know if you if you're live on here, if you can hear me at all. Okay, well, I guess I full screened the video. That was naughty of me. I shouldn't have done that. All right.
안 울게. 엄마가 안 울고 너 그리워하지 않고 너 많이 사랑할게. 더 많이 사랑할게.
엄마 근데 있잖아. 나도 엄마한테
Look at this. It says, "Mom, I wrote a letter to you." Sorry about that, people. I guess you're not supposed to full screen those videos. I don't know why it matters. I'm still giving credit to the video. They still get their... Anyway, whatever. It's YouTube. It's the way it goes.
편지 썼네.
진짜?
읽어줄까?
어.
엄마, 우리 항상 같이 있지?
Mom, we will always be together, right?
우리 다음에 만나면
If we meet again, let's play a lot.
나도 엄마 오래오래 기억할게요.
고마워. 나연아 엄마는 나연이 정말 사랑해. 나연이가 어디에 있든 엄마 나연이 찾으러 갈 거야. 엄마는 아직 해야 할 일이 있어서 그것들 다 마치고 나면 나연이한테 갈게. 그때 우리
I mean, putting children through this is absolutely crazy. Putting children through this type of thing is sad. But that's what they do. It does sound like poltergeist. It does sound. But imagine what this does to somebody's mind.
둘이 잘 지내자. 사랑해, 나연아.
나 졸려, 엄마. 엄마, 옆에 있어줘.
She's saying, Mom, I'm sleepy. Stay by my side.
Oma, 안녕. 엄마, 사랑해.
나도.
See the whole butterfly? Okay, so there you go. So that was that video that we won't show on full screen ever again. Anyway, I don't know what this Black Mirror thing is. They talk about this Black Mirror episode here, and it's basically, it's VR. They create an android of you. They created Android of you, and they download everything into it. So, you know, here's another issue, clones. This is a clone that Russia has developed. It's called the Promobot, right? Digital immortality. That's what they're doing is they're creating a robot. I didn't know that was on there, of course. They're creating a robot that basically is human in its outer shell. It's not really human. It's a robot. But they're going to mix the iron with the clay, and then they're going to put a devil inside of it. I think, anyway, that's what's going to happen. A devil's going to go inside of it. And give it life. And that's what they're doing. But I'm going to tell you what the real issue here is. Is when you don't believe in reality, in absolutes. God teaches us moral absolutes. There's a law. If you break God's law, you deserve to go to hell. Death came into the world after sin. Sin brought death into the world. Before there was sin, there was no death. But when man sinned against God, it brought about death into the world. And Satan is always trying to counter God's word and say, you shall not surely die. When God says you will die. See, this is not being able to accept. We've come to a point in society where we've hid death from everybody so much till it's just a ceremony. People don't mourn death anymore. They don't deal with death anymore. We don't have the kind of death that they had in the old days. A lot less people die than they did back. I mean, most babies live today as opposed to back in the day in civilized world. The way most babies live as opposed to back in the day when most babies died. People would have 10, 12 children and maybe 9 of them would die. Right? There'd be complications with the birth. That doesn't happen now. We have medicine that keeps people alive longer now. We have running water and sanitation and things like that. Right? So, we have those things happening now that prolongs life. Thank God for that. But it doesn't change the fact that you must be born again. But you must be saved by the grace of God and have your sins forgiven. That Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel is that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day. And that in him you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. The Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. So salvation is of the Lord. It is of God. You must be born again. So, but what they're offering is another gospel. This is just the digital gospel. It's the virtual reality, virtual necromancy, familiar raising family members up. That's what it is. And those poor people need the gospel. That's what they need. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't need this twilight virtual necromancy. Look at this comment. For all the judgmental people who haven't even watched this whole documentary and comedy, this TV show is exploiting the grieving mother's feelings. The mother wanted to do this because she wanted closure. She lost her child so suddenly and felt like she hadn't had a chance to say a proper goodbye. But because of this, she placed her daughter's photos everywhere and was almost in a state of obsession for 3 years. Hearing this mother's story, the documentary team and family discussed and prepared for this experience months. They specifically did this so that the mother could say a proper goodbye. But that's not a proper goodbye. It isn't normal. People are living in a fantasy world. So Satan is saying, just pick your poison then. Because that's what it is. It's absolute fantasy. And the devil's involved with that when you can't accept reality. Right? Now, here's another thing of no reality that's just an absolute virtual message. You can just be whatever you want to be type thing. And it's child abuse. And it's just as wicked. It's probably more wicked than what you just saw.
As much information we can to make sure that we give our child.
Let me back up.
We're just trying to figure out as much information we can to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be, you know, her best self.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade speaks out about supporting his 12-year-old's gender identity. The NBA All-Star appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show on Tuesday to discuss his upcoming ESPN documentary, D. Wade, Life Unexpected, and Dwayne opened up about the day his daughter Zaya, who was previously known as Zion, came home and told her parents that she was ready to, quote, live my truth.
Once Zaya, 12-year-old, came home, and first Zion, everybody, I don't know if everyone knows, originally named Zion, Zion born as a boy, came home and said, hey.
So he's born as a boy, and he came home, he's like, wait a minute, like, where you been? Where you been?
Hey, so I want to talk to you guys. You know, I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth. And
I'm ready to live my truth. That is stupid. There is truth and there's error. You were born a boy. You are a boy. That is truth. Not your truth, my truth. It's truth.
And I want to be referenced as she and her. I would love for you guys to call me Zaya.
Dwayne and wife Gabrielle Union fully supported Zaya on her journey and reached out to everyone they knew to get as much information for their child as possible.
First of all, me and my wife Gabrielle Union, we are proud. When I say proud, we are proud parents of a child in the LGBTQ plus community.
We're proud parents of the really? Because I think you're just an absolute failure. I think you failed your kids. I think you taught them nothing. And I think you're leading millions to hell with your garbage.
And we're proud allies as well. And we take our roles and our responsibility as parents very seriously.
Really? What does a parent do? A parent instructs and teaches. Some people say, you know, there's just no manual for kids. Yes, there is. It's the Bible. But there's also a more specific one. And I've been going through it. And I'm going to release a series someday that I'm going to do on characters in Proverbs. All the people that God warns us to stay away from. How he instructs us to instruct our children. How we're to teach our children. How we're to teach our children. The people that they're to be aware of. And all those other things. Right? So, but anyway, when you're a parent, your child doesn't, my child doesn't come to me and say, Dad, I got to sit down and talk to you about something. I'm ready to live my truth. Well, what's your truth, son? Well, I'm going to go drive the car. I'm going to go get married at 14. Or I'm going to go shack up, or I'm going to go, or I'm going to go do what I want to do, or I'm going to go do dope, or I'm going to live my truth. Well, no, son, because see, you're going to live the truth. And look, son, you're going to live according to the Bible, right, while you're under my roof, and you're going to live according to biology, too, while you're under my roof. who's parenting and who's the kid? Let me tell you something. These knuckleheaded rich people right here, these celebrities, these just because some dope takes a basketball and dribbles down the sidewalk, and some butch-haired lesbian right here can run around and be famous for acting like a man, doesn't mean they're people that you ought to follow. It doesn't mean their authority, that they should speak with any authority. And it certainly doesn't mean that people ought to listen to what they have to say. And apparently they don't know that they're to be the parents. And they're not to cater to their children. It's like your kid sitting down at the table and saying, "Well, Dad, I know we're having spaghetti, but my truth is that we have hamburgers and french fries." "Well, son, your truth just met a wall, and it's me. And your truth is going to bang against that wall. You ain't getting what you want. You're going to get what I tell you." You see that? It's just a bunch of nonsense.
So when our child comes home with a question, when our child comes home with an issue, when our child comes home with anything, it's our job as parents to listen to that, to give them the best information that we can, the best feedback that we can. And that doesn't change because sexuality is...
So here's a failed man, a failed parent that can't even explain to his child biology. Can't even explain male and female anatomy. Can't even explain that he's a man, that he was born a boy and he's a boy. Doesn't even know who he's hanging around, what he's watching on television, what he's doing, and all of a sudden this guy's the expert to lecture America on parenting? Unbelievable. So you got a butch lesbian and an effeminate guy in a leather jacket with an effeminate spirit about him. No wonder why he raised a kid like that. Now listen, I know our kids can fail and all kinds of things can happen. I get it. But this is a propaganda piece. So I'm going to have these two freaks of nature are going to explain to me what we're supposed to be doing.
Is now involved in it. Now it's our job to, one, go out and get information, to reach out to every relationship that we have. My wife reached out to everybody on the cast of Pose. And we're just trying to figure out as much information we can to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be, you know, her best self.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that it's one thing.
I mean, who do these people think they are? What authority do they have to speak like this?
Plus, the former NBA star opened up about how much he looked up to the late Kobe Bryant.
It was special. I mean, I think my favorite, you know, we all have stories and moments of, you know, our interactions with, you know, one Kobe. But I think what was special about him, and why you see so many guys in the NBA or so many younger guys really tore up about this, is because he was the first superstar that really embraced different generations, really embraced us. And I think from like 2008 on, from the Olympics on, he really put his arms around us as competitors, and the rest of the world. You saw him being more involved in so many different sports, not just basketball and soccer, obviously, with his daughter and women basketball. But he just started being a person that everybody can call and reach out to and say, "Hey, Kobe, I have a question." So I'm going to miss that example.
Yeah.
Not only just my friend, but that example that he was setting, not only for me, but so many others.
Dwayne's documentary, D. Wade, Life Unexpected, airs February 23rd at 9 p.m. on ESPN.
That's great. So basically, anyway, we have him lamenting Kobe Bryant, which is fine. I get it. They're sad about it, of course. Death is sad. But you have them trying to make it a societal norm. They're trying to make it a societal norm of what they've done, what their transition is, what they're doing. And what does it all come down to, really? Well, what it all comes down to, really, is these people can't accept reality in absolutes in a postmodernistic world. In a postmodernistic world, we're at the place now to where no one's going to accept any reality. They're not going to, they're going to create their own reality, in other words, basically. They're going to create their own reality, and they're going to do what they want to do. There's not going to be any absolutes. Just like with the Southern Baptist Convention right now, with the Southern Baptist Convention right now, teaching about, or letting women preachers in, there's no absolutes anymore. None. They're destroying all the lines of that. They're taking them all away. And they're pretty much making it so everything is fluid, basically. That's the direction this is headed. That's the place it's going. Anyway, trolls are coming in. Just saw it, just blocked it. Lots of trolls. Haven't seen that one in a long time. That's a blast from the past, for sure, but it shouldn't surprise me. When talking about things that don't make people comfortable, makes them uncomfortable. But anyway, we have a world of no absolutes. So what's going on? You know, you have Kobe, or you have, what is it, D-Wade, or whatever his name is. What is he teaching? That basically, like, you go to your family, your kid comes to you, and they tell you what they want, and you don't tell them what they're doing is wrong. You don't tell them what they're doing is wrong. You just accept whatever they're doing. Now, there's a lot of manipulation that goes along with that. And here's some of it right here. Pastor who invited female preacher to the SBC Pastors Conference says he's now worried about her safety. Well, you know why, don't you? Well, those misogynist preachers that are against Jezebel standing in pulpits, well, they're going to hurt people. So her safety's in danger. No, that's just a way to gender up sorrow. That's a way to gender up sorrow, isn't it? And to feel sorry for that person, to manipulate your emotions and think, if you're against this, then you're really for hurting these people. If you're against women preachers, then they're in danger. You're for hurting women. See how that works? That's what they just did. That's what they just did. That's what this guy just did. And that's the direction we're headed, folks. they're going to use all kinds of things like that. And they're using it for their advantage, is what they're doing. They're using it for their absolute advantage. That's what they do. And it's sad because that's the direction that we're headed. It's very sad. Let's see. I want to remember this because we didn't go to this. Let's go back to... let's see. Here we go. 1 Samuel 15. Oops, that's the wrong chapter. No, it's not the one I was looking for. Here it is. 1 Samuel 28. These familiar spirits, this necromancy, this communicating with the dead. And the Philistines, Saul put away the familiar spirits, right? Then said Saul to his servant, seek me a woman, that familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath the familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. Isn't that something? So here's that, he disguised himself in other raiment, and here's that lady, and she puts on these VR goggles and this equipment. It gets kind of interesting. It's not real. That really wasn't her raiment. Everything about this whole episode was deceptive, right? And Saul disguised himself. Remember, Saul said that God didn't speak to him anymore. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. So that wasn't Samuel. How? It says here that God wouldn't answer him by prophets. No more. It wasn't Samuel. Then said Saul unto his servants, okay, I got a perfect example of this for you. Let me show you something. Let's do another search here real quick. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. See that? Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. See what's going on here? That's not Samuel. But he says he's Samuel, and he sits in the seat of Samuel, right? Watch this. Look at this one. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or those words so that he as God, just what the familiar spirit did, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, now go back to the familiar. Same thing. Same thing. And Saul disguised himself and put on the raiment and went two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit and bring him up. Bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. Now the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause it to die? Cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Well, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? But Saul just made a promise he couldn't keep. He said, As the Lord liveth, he swore by the Lord. There shall no punishment come of thee. Wait a minute. That's the same promise that Satan made, isn't it? You shall not die. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Who told her that? The familiar spirit. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. Satan is never so dangerous as when he disguises himself in Samuel's mantle. He puts on the prophet's mantle, and he disguises himself. He's very dangerous that way. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. He's bowing before a spirit, you understand? And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? First of all, no devil. God is not going to use a witch to bring up Samuel out of paradise. It's not going to happen. They can't disquiet it. It's a spirit. I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore thou then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee, and has become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and give it to thy neighbor David, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. See, Samuel didn't even know the voice of God any longer. Saul didn't even know the voice of God any longer. He couldn't hear it from his word. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand. See, this devil used Saul's despair. What's going on with this virtual VR thing? They used her despair to make contact. Isn't that right? They use the despair. That's what devils do. Moreover, the Lord also will deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord shall also shall deliver the host of Israel and the Philistines. What did he give? A message of doom and gloom. He gave him no hope. How do you know this message was from Satan? How do you know it? Well, just like remember the messenger of Job? Or remember Eliphaz? How he had that devil come to him at night? And what did he give him the message of? Total doom and gloom. No hope. What did this devil give Saul the message of? Total doom and gloom. No hope. Right? No hope. That's how you know where it came from. And it was a mixed message, too. Here's the danger. Somebody asked me about this week. And I said, listen, he said, why did he tell him that him and his sons would be with him tomorrow? Shall thou and thy sons be with me? The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel in the hand of the Philistines. Well, first of all, because this is a mixed message. He said, well, I thought Jonathan was saved. I said, I think Jonathan was saved. The strength of false prophets is that they tell the truth 90% of the time or whatever it is. The truth that they shared made made everything be believable in this message. That's why we're to discern the spirits. Try the spirits whether they're of God. All the feelings you have, all the things that your mind says, all those other things got to be tried by reality, by absolute truth of the scriptures. Because you could feel like even if you're a saved man, you could feel like you're lost and dead, you're going to die and go to hell and all that. You can feel all these things, and the devil can be using that, and he can shoot fiery arrows at you, and you go through all these things, and you know what? Not a bit of it's true. There might be some truth as far as maybe you're not right with God in a way, and Satan is using that or something of that nature. But we try. The only thing that we believe absolutely is not the way we feel, but what God's word says. And this didn't come from God's word. This wasn't spoken by a prophet. This was spoken by the devil, by a devil. So look what it says here. So what do I believe about this? Well, I don't take absolute truth from this. From that, in that sense, from what this devil said, I take absolute truth from the scriptures, but there are also lies recorded in the Bible. Amen. God recorded those lies and rebuked those lies, right? There's also misapplications of things that are recorded in the Bible. For instance, most of what Job's friends said was the truth. They just misapplied it to Job's circumstances. You know, a source of a lot of sorrow for the Christian sometimes is preachers and ourselves misapplying truth to our situation. Now, a lost person could do that too and deceive themselves that they never trusted Christ as their Savior and they're still living in wicked sins and everything else like that, or trying to go about their own righteousness or whatever. Obviously, that's true too. But the point is, more than that is that we can bring sorrow onto ourselves unneedfully because we take truth that is recorded in the scriptures, that is real, that's true, but we misapply it to our situation. So then we think all doom and gloom when it's not for us. Job's friends thought it was all doom and gloom for him, pronounced all these judgments against him. Their judgments were true, but misapplied. They weren't for him. Job wasn't a lost hypocrite. Job was telling the truth. Job was a righteous man. See what I mean? But in this message, so what are we to believe? Well, it's all doom and gloom, he gives them. And I believe Jonathan was saved. And I believe Saul went to hell. But see, that's that mixed message. I don't have to take for granted what the devil says here. What I do is, I take out of this is I look at the other scriptures that talk about Saul being cursed, but Jonathan wasn't cursed. See what I mean? So do I believe what this devil said about Jonathan being with him? No. Why? Well, because Saul's the one that had the curse, not Jonathan. Jonathan died in battle, but he wasn't a wicked man. He was a man that loved the Lord, and he loved David. See, I don't believe Jonathan went to hell. I believe Jonathan went to paradise. I believe Saul went to hell. I believe that's the difference. So I have to be able to discern those things. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. See, I don't believe that was Samuel. I believe that's the familiar. Now, the Bible says the words of Samuel. I understand that, but read it in the context of what he's talking about. A familiar that came in the same way, right? Just like this right here. I mean, he opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, he's sitting there as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But we know that's not God. Right. Just like we know that this person went to, that Saul went to a familiar spirit, a woman with a familiar spirit. And what did he got? He got what familiar spirits give. They don't raise up dead prophets. They communicate with the dead. I don't mean the dead that I'm talking about, the devils. The familiars. Amen? So that's what that is. So try to understand that. And then you get, by the way, that familiar spirits is 18 times in the Bible. That word familiar anyway, 18 times. The Bible says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. They defile you. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall be surely put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Why was it stones? Because the law was written in stone. And it's a picture of the law. Every time that death is done, they were dead by the law. The law slew them. The law can save no man. It is the grace of Jesus Christ that saves a man. The law cannot. Is Christ fulfilling the law? Deuteronomy 18:11. Or a charmer. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that use divination, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, which was Saul, or a wizard, or a necromancer. One who pretends to foretell future events by holding converse with departed spirits, or a conjurer. It's one that conjures up spirits. That's what it is. Right? That's what happens. A conjurer. Looking out my window, somebody's coming in here. I was looking to see who it was. The old grandpa's coming in. All right. I got to look out sometimes, man. You never know who's going to come through these doors. Anyway. But a conjurer, right? A converse with the departed spirit. For all that do these things are an abomination of the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God did drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Amen. So, that's what they're doing here with this necromancy. That's what they're doing. They're conjuring these things up. And I believe they're doing it digitally. Right? It's only one time that necromancer is. One time in the Bible. But the familiar spirits, we have 18 times. Oh, by the way, let's go to this verse here. Check this out. Remember that weird whispery song that she was doing? And thou shalt be brought down and shalt speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Remember that song? Where's that song?
Amen.
Oh, it's creepy. It's creepy, ain't it? Think about that. What's that? Now, what does that Bible say there? And thou shalt be brought down and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Who's the whisperer out of the dust? Remember this one? The serpent, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. How about that one? There's the dust. Remember? Serpents in the dust. So who's the one with the familiar spirit then? What are they doing? They're speaking out of the ground. Why? Because that's where they're cast to. That's how they have to speak. Hoggard has a theory, and he believes they have to speak that way because they don't have the voice. They can't speak with a regular voice because they've been cursed. I thought that was interesting. I think I agree with him on that. Manasseh and all his wickedness. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. And he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. That's what Manasseh did. Right? And then God judged Manasseh, and Manasseh got saved. He sent him to Babylon. He said, you want to act like a witch? I'm going to send you to their headquarters. Right? Look what he said. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them captains of the host of the kings of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. What is that? He bound him with fetters. He put chains on him. He put fetters on him. I think that's chains, isn't it? Fetters. Let's see. We got one word. Fetter. A chain. I was right. By the feet. All right. He bound him with fetters, right? And carried him to Babylon. Look what he did to him. Thorns. What's thorns? A curse. He said, you want to act like a witch? I'll send you to a witch's cove. You can go to Babylon for a while. I'll stick you in chains and thorns and wrap that curse around your neck. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Look at this, what this says. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God.
Better to go into hell.
Right? Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Somebody said Manasseh was Jewish. Jewish people can't. I never said Jewish people don't practice witchcraft. When did I ever say anything of the nature that Jewish people don't practice witchcraft? I never said that at all. I've never condoned the Kabbalah. I've never condoned any of the witchcraft that is taught by Kabbalistic Jews. And I've also never... This topic gets me excited because I think I know who that is, and he's just kind of digging at me. But he's digging at me because he thinks that Jews run the world, and I know there are rogue Jews that run the world, but there's also a Pope that's behind them. There's also a Jesuit order that's behind them. There's also a lot of things that are set up behind them. The Jesuits are masters of the Kabbalah. They're masters of numbers. By the way, Kabbalistic teachings and everything else, they started in Egypt. The spirit of Babylon started in Egypt. That's where it came from. That's where it was. Egypt. It's a spirit that travels. And it was in Egypt. That's where it started. That's where that spirit of Babylon was. Anyway, I'll just go ahead and let that go for now. I fully intend to deal with the whole Jewish versus Jesuits thing and understand the complete balance of both of them, because I do get it. But I'll wait, and I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to get my feathers ruffled today about it. I'm just going to let it go for now, because I understand the reason of it. So, anyway, but I'll deal with it later. All right, anyways, anybody have any questions at all? I'm done pretty much with what I was going to teach today. But if anybody has any questions, I'll take some now here while we're waiting. Carl Winter says, speaking of whispering, you should expose the autonomous sensory meridian response. I don't even know what that is. I have no idea what that is. Anyway. All right. Well, I'll wait a second so you can ask some questions here. And I'll play you a little song here.
There waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide. And when I pass this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when. The wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday I'll hear the angels singing beyond the shadows of the tomb. And all the bells of heaven ringing while saints are singing home. Sweet home. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin. Someday God only knows just where and when. The wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday my labors will be ended, and all my wanderings will be o'er, and all earth's broken ties be mended, and I shall sigh and weep no more. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday the dark clouds will be rifted, and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted. The day of rest shall come at last. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill.
All right, Zion's Hill, good song. All right, some people asked a question. I had to block another Ivan Bradbury. Bunch of wicked perverts always putting stuff on my post. Anyway, okay, let's see here. Somebody asked the question, do I think, is autism demonic? No, I don't believe so. I don't believe physical ailments in the body are always demonic. I don't believe they are, and I don't believe there's any proof to that to say that there is. That if you cast out the devil or something like that, then you're not going to have autism anymore. No, I think there's permanent things that can happen to people's bodies, but some of those have physical answers. I believe a lot of autism can be worked out through nutrition and taking care of yourself young. When the child is young, you can help them with a lot of the societal or situational situations. That you can help them young and train a lot of things out of them with Asperger's and other things like that. So you can really deal with a lot of those things at a young age when you notice them and pick up on them. I don't have a problem with the gut flora thing. I think that's probably true because, you know, a couple of the old medical people years ago said that most disease is in the stomach. So I tend to believe that. I think there's an answer. Nutritional wise, there's answers to some of these things, and there's ways to combat some of these things. So let me back up here. I'm very concerned about my 20-year-old nephew who is beginning to display demonic behavior. Well, I don't know what that is. As far as you would have to tell me what that was, but I mean, it could be demonic behavior. It could be a lot of other things. There also can be problems with the mind. And when there's problems with the mind, they have to learn to overcome those things, and you have to trust Christ, and obviously they need to be saved. But they need to be saved by the grace of God. That will help them to get through anything. And then, you know, they have to follow the Lord and learn to walk in the Spirit. But a lot of things can be health things. You know, health issues that can be taken care of. And they should be. So we ought to take care of ourselves and make sure that we're healthier in that sense. And then for autistic kids, you have to go through some things. There's been a lot that's been said about gut flora and things like that. I'm not an expert on any of those things. You'd have to go study those out yourself and talk to a doctor, somebody that's a naturopath or something like that understands medicine and herbs and things of that nature. Be careful, they're not a witch. There's a lot of those out there too as well. But some people just understand the body and the way that it works. He's appearing naked in the home screening up Cindy's and hitting my sister. Yeah. I don't know how old he is. I don't know whether that's devil possession or just depravity. I have no idea why he wants to show up naked. That's kind of weird. But I don't know if that's a mental disorder that you're saying he has. I'm not sure. It could be a devil. I'd sure pray. I'd sure pray against it, that's for sure. That's good, Andrew. That's good. That's good to hear that you can be delivered from that, and that wouldn't be, that wouldn't continue with you. That God, there's things that you can learn to help you, and that we have to notice these things and really watch them when we're younger, to make sure when the children are younger to make sure that they're taken care of and such of that nature. Let's see. I don't know, weird thing that Carl's talking about breathing stuff. I'm not sure what he means by that. I've never looked into any of that, so I don't know what that is exactly. Let's see. Anybody else have any other questions about anything before we take off here? We got about 5 minutes. About 5 minutes here. I'll give you 5 minutes anyway. Let's see. Somebody asked about an observer of times. I like Strong's McClintock. Let's look at that here. Observer of times is the rendering in the AV. It says here necromancy or a seer, okay, and the superstition intimately associated with astrology and widely, so they follow the stars, widely spread through the ancient world by the influence of the Oriental Magi, which distinguishes and determines days as lucky or unlucky, seem to be plainly alluded to, not only here, but also in other words. Okay, it's mentioned. Paul censures the same practice. This peculiar regard to days originated in a very daily, early period, and is often mentioned by late authors. He talks about different things. Even between different divisions and hours of the same day, a similar distinction was made. Okay, so the observance of days was not unknown to the ancient Persians. So they observed those same things. They followed the stars. It borders on divination as well. But they try to tell the future through the stars and things of that nature. So that's kind of what they do in that sense. They believe in lucky days. They believe in other things of that nature. They're all closely associated. They're all closely associated with different groups of the occult, basically. Or different groups of occultic practices, witchcraft, soothsayers, observers of times, necromancers, seers, divination, all those other things. So they're a close-knit group of devils is what they are, basically, devil-possessed people. People that are following the occult and witchcraft, and they're trying to use spirits to tell the future, use the stars, observe times, observe days, Paul called it in the New Testament. He talked about that. Okay, Galatians 4:10, you observe days and months and times and years. You know, he's putting down that practice of doing that, so that's kind of what he's talking about there.
shout it tonight, would you please? On the last, onward to the prize.
Amen. All right. Well, listen, don't forget about some of the things that we've been working on here lately. I'm going to continue the series here this weekend, a couple series, actually. I'm going to be back in the book of Psalms 103, and I don't remember what number this is, but we're going to be there with Psalm 103, okay? The second thing that we're going to be into is I'm going to be preaching the Baptist history again this week. Baptist doctrine. We're going to start out with the distinctives here. We're making our way through the distinctives so then we can identify the right church through history as I teach you Baptist history. The third thing that we're going to cover, that we're covering is Keeping the Kids series, David Cloud's book, Keeping the Kids, and what a good series that has been. Also, don't forget to direct people to those sermons on depression that I've been doing and dealing with those teachings on depression that I've been doing and other things like that of that nature to try to help people. I've got two more of those, so I'm going to have another one this Wednesday that I'm going to help you with. And then God showed me another one. He showed me two in this chapter of Job today in my devotions this morning. So there's two things that I'm going to bring you. All right. And so let's pray for one another. Pray for us this weekend. And thank God for all that he does for us. Pray for our safety. Pray for the Lord to bless us and keep us healthy and safe and help all these folks that are sick and that the sickness is going around too. And with that virus that's going around, that terrible virus, pray for them, pray for our children, our family, pray for our finances. Pray the Lord would continue to provide for us at this time. No, that Psalm 119 was just a separate one that the Lord gave me in my devotions. Brother Carl, I'm not planning on making that a series at this point. But I will be releasing some more on sermon audio too of some of the other ones that we've already done. I just haven't had a chance to release those yet, but we got to get those. You are very unfair. You pick and choose who you answer. Well, who asked me a question? I posted a question a few times. Oh, I didn't see your question. I'm sorry. Was Manasseh born after Hezekiah asked for more time? Meaning, would all of this been avoided if he had died initially in time of sickness? Yes. Yes, Cher, that is correct. That is correct. Manasseh was born in the time of Hezekiah's extended life. So, yes, he was. I didn't see your question. I'm sorry. I didn't see it. But anyway, so yes, he absolutely was. If you look at the timeline of his age when he came to the throne. And when you look at the extension of his life, then you see that. Now, I believe, historically speaking, if I'm not mistaken, Manasseh did put Isaiah to death. Now, I could be wrong about that. But I think that's true. I think Manasseh did, but I don't know for sure. I could be wrong about that. So don't quote me on that. Anyway, so back into a bunch of the series that I've been working on here, and I got to get a bunch more online, too, as well, that we've already done and everything else like that. So don't forget to pray for everybody, and yeah, pray for those poor folks in that video that don't have the truth, anyway, all right, everyone, have a good night.